The conference call is starting now.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening, and welcome to our INWIT first quarter 2016 financial result conference call. Our CEO, Mr. Oscar Cecchetti, and our CFO, Mr. Rafael Perrino, will update you on our year-to-date operating and financial performance. The presentation will be followed by a Q&A session. Please do take note of our disclaimer policy you should now be able to see on slide two. Let me leave the floor to Mr. Cecchetti, who will drive you through the key highlight of our first quarter 2016 result. After that, Mr. Perrino will provide you with an in-depth analysis of our year-to-date financial result. Let me highlight that the reported data refer to the consolidated financial statement at March 31st, 2016, including the Brescia company contribution. I will now hand over to Oscar.
Thank you, Michele. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for attending. During our first year 2015 results presentation, we illustrated a very ambitious yet achievable 3-year business plan, featuring continuous growth and a number of additional value-enhancing initiatives while maintaining the highest degree of financial flexibility. Our first quarter results confirm we are on track. Our growth path is well above what was anticipated at the IPO and show positive signs for our future development, with all the KPIs fully in line or ahead of the plan presented last February. We reported a quarterly record, both in terms of revenues and EBITDA, thanks to a strong top-line performance coupled with ground lease efficiencies and the decommissioning plan. But let's now go through the main highlights of our first quarter results. In slide number four, you can see our top-line performance in the first 3 months of this year. We managed to outperform all the previous quarters since the incorporation of the company. The slide shows the comparison with 2014 pro forma average quarter and with 2015 actual average quarter. In fact, revenues amounted to 81.7 million euros, of which 78% from the MSA with Telecom Italia. Besides the MSA covering sites contributed at the IPO, further €200,000 come from Telecom Italia, thanks to the new sites already built up. As reported in our fiscal year results, even in the first quarter, we posted a significant increase in third-party revenues, with the plus 11% versus 2015 quarterly average and plus 19% versus 2014 average quarter pro forma. All in all, our first quarter total revenues account for approximately 3% growth compared with last year annualized average, without benefiting from any CPI increase in the MSA with Telecom Italia, as it will be factored in from 2017 onwards. On the following slides, slide number five, you can see the details underlying such growth. First, new tenants. In the first quarter, we managed to add approximately 300 new tenants to our portfolio, bringing the tenancy ratio to 1.64. Roughly 30% of these new tenants, I'm talking about 100 contracts, come from our commercial activities, while 70% is related to the MSA obligations undertaken by Telecom Italia. Let me remind you that the tenancy ratio of 1.64 compares very positively with the 1.55 of last year and with the 1.62 at December 2015. We remain well on track and fully committed to delivering our 1.9 target by 2018. On the right of the slide a summary of the new sites. First of all, many of the new sites ordered in 2015 are now up and running and generating revenues as previously highlighted. In 2016, we received 44 orders for new sites from Telecom Italia that, once ready, will generate revenues in the second half of the year. Finally, the big news is related to the acquisition of 76 sites in the area of Brescia, north of Italy. In 54 of these, where we were already present, we saved on the intermediation margin. The remaining 22 new sites, where INWIT was not present, contributed to our revenue growth with an average tenancy ratio of approximately 1.4. Let's now move to the other key feature of our story, our efficiency plan. In the next two slides, we illustrate the efficiency achieved to date and how well on track we are to meet our business plan objectives. Slide number 6. First quarter total OPEX amounted to 42.8 million euro, with a 2% decline year on year and a reduction of roughly 5% if compared to the 2014 pro forma average quarter. Here, a substantial reduction of ground lease cost with approximately 6% decline year on year was the result of the combined effect of ground lease renegotiation and decommissioning. Approximately 2 million versus 2015 average quarter and over 3 million versus 2014 pro forma average quarter. These benefits have been slightly offset by higher operating cost for 0.8 million euro due to the one-off impact of the TI sales process, as well as in the rise in personnel cost, mainly driven by the scheduled headcount increase. Let's now take a look at the next slide, slide number 7, that shows the efficiency achieved with respect to ground lease cost. On this slide, we provide an overview of the two pillars that contributed to the cost reduction. On the top of the slide, you can find an update of the decommissioning plan as per our agreement with Telecom Italia. Under the three-year plan, the number of sites to be decommissioned is 1,400. For 600 of these, Telecom Italia already started removing their equipment. In 400, the equipment was removed in 2015. In 200, the equipment is currently being removed. This decommissioning plan translates into a site dismantling process, which allows us to post a substantial cost reduction without impacting our revenues. Approximately 200 sites have already been fully dismantled. This means no more OPEX in our P&L. 65% have been dismantled in the fiscal year 2015, and about 150 additional sites have been dismantled in the first quarter of 2016. Approximately 300 were decommissioned by Telecom Italia, but not yet dismantled, as the dismantling process will be completed within the end of the year. Let me remind you that the decommissioning process end-to-end usually takes from 8 to 10 months, including notice to the landlords and dismantling works. Approximately 100 sites we consider marketable, and we are looking for new tenants. For these sites, the economic impact on EBITDA can be similar or higher than what we can cash in with the dismantling process because of the expected additional revenues. At the bottom of the slide, we offer a snapshot of ground lease savings. More specifically, we analyze the main levers we activated to deliver our efficiency plan. Perhaps as you remember, we started implementing ground lease cost efficiencies in 2015 by adopting a pure renegotiation strategy. Today, our approach has evolved and we now have more options to meet our targets. The first lever is small domestic M&A. As I already said, through the acquisition of 76 sites in the Brescia area, given that we were already present in 54 of these 76, we immediately saved the intermediation margin and posted a cost saving. The market still offers similar opportunities and will keep monitoring and capturing. The second lever, which is also one of the main pillars of our 3 years plan, is land acquisition. We reached roughly 10% of our 2016-2018 target and are therefore well on track to achieve the 15% of INWIT sites portfolio that is our target for the end of 2018. The last two levers are more standard options and include the pure renegotiation of the lease contracts or cash advance against a discount. Comparing our first quarter performance with the 2015 average quarter, we recorded a higher reduction of lease cost with a lower number of transactions. What achieved in the first quarter of 2016 is expected to generate meaningful and long-lasting savings worth 2.4 million on an annualized basis. Next slide number 8 is about small cells. As already stated in the IPO and more recently in the presentation of our plan, we strongly believe that in the long term small cell will be an important growth engine, and we are very satisfied with what we managed to achieve so far. On top of the 5 already locked in 2015, we signed three new contracts in 2016, and we have a robust pipeline of more than 15 locations, and this proves the level of interest for these technologies and its potential growth. We reiterate our objective to achieve more than 90 locations, large locations covered by 2018. What makes this opportunity attractive is not only the expected growth trajectory, but also a number of additional elements, such as higher tenancy ratio versus macro sites, no impact from the electromagnetic emission law, and an EBITDA margin that is expected to be higher than 50%. So nowadays, small cell is still a relatively minor market opportunity, but it offers strong growth potential with economics aligned with or above that of macro sites. This is why in the future INWIT will focus on the small cell business. Let me now recap in the slide number 9 two of the main KPIs that confirm we are delivering on what we promised. On the left, you can see the meaningful increase in OLOS revenues, which moved from 15.3 million euro in 2014 average quarter up to 18.2 million euro this last quarter. On the right, we show the positive impact that the commissioning plan, sites renegotiation, small M&As, land acquisition had on ground lease costs. The result is visible in the reduction of the quarterly average ground lease, which reached 13.5 thousand euro per site in first quarter 2016 versus the 14.5 thousand in the second quarter of 2015. So that's it. Now I leave the floor to Rafael, who will give you more details on our first quarter results.
Thank you. Thank you, Oscar, and good evening to you all. We can start with a brief financial overview of the consolidated results for the first quarter of the year. From January to March, revenues amounted to 81.7 million euros, equivalent to around 327 million euros on an annualized basis. Thus, we reported a good top-line performance with an increase of 2.4% versus 2015 quarterly average and plus 4% versus 2014 pro forma figures. It is important to highlight that we succeeded in achieving these results without leveraging on the beneficial effect stemming from the CPI increase under MSA, which will be felt starting from 2015, fixed at 2% for the first year and full inflation linked afterwards. We posted an EBITDA of 38.9 million euros, increased by 7.9% versus 2015 quarterly average and by 15.6% versus 2014 pro forma data. It is worthwhile mentioning that the EBITDA reported results keep showing an ever-increasing trend since 2014 pro forma. The strong growth recorded at the EBITDA level was primarily due to the combined effect of all those revenues increase and OPEX efficiencies, primarily related to the reduction of ground lease costs. The Brescia EBITDA contribution is expected to be of around 1 million on an annual basis. Olo's revenues increased by 10.7% versus 2015 quarterly average and by 19.1% versus 2014 pro forma revenues. Ground lease cost declined by 5.6% versus 2015 quarterly average and by 7.9% versus 2014 pro forma data. Net financial interest for the period equaled 0.9 million euros, and this is the sum of the cost of financing, around 0.4 million, and some non-cash items for 0.5 million euro, mainly interest on euro funds. Taxes amounted to 11.3 million euros with an actual tax rate of around 32%. Let me remind you that the goodwill enfranchisement option is still available, and should we decide to push it, taxes would come down significantly. Net income for the period equaled 23.5 million euros, up 12% compared to 2015 quarterly average. This is the highest quarterly net income since the company incorporation. Next slide. On slide 12, we present our recent acquisition in the Brescia area in a nutshell. In January 2016, we acquired three companies with a portfolio of 76 sites. The merger with the INWIT was approved during the latest annual general meeting held on April 19, 2016. The acquisition, like for like, only includes active and passive infrastructure and no personnel or obligation. The total perimeter acquired is expected to contribute an additional annual EBITDA of around 1 million euro. The EBITDA accretion is the result of a combined effect of both additional revenues and savings on ground lease due to the cancellation of the intermediation margin. For the 54 sites already in our portfolio, we recorded a total cost reduction of about 0.5 million euro, while for the 22 new sites, we inherited new tenants for additional revenues of around 0.5 million on an annual basis. The consideration paid was 8.3 million, implying an acquisition multiple of around 8 times EBITDA. We are always scouting for such deals. On slide 13, you can find a drill down of quarterly net income of 23.5 million euro that grew 12% when compared with 2015 quarterly average. This increase mainly comes from a 4% increase in revenues and a 4.8% decrease in operating expenses, leading to a 47.6% EBITDA margin. As you can see, we recorded plus 3.5 percentage point with respect to second quarter of 2015, that is the first quarter of INWIT's operation. Moreover, in the quarter, net income was impacted by an increase in D&A compared with the 2015 quarterly average of 2.9 million euros, mainly due to the accelerated depreciation of the sites being dismantled. As a matter of fact, we reduced the useful life of the assets being dismantled in order to complete the depreciation within year-end. Our EBIT margin amounted to 43.7%, a best-in-class rate. Net income for the first three-month period of 2016 amounted to 23.5 million euro, equal to 0.16 euro per share on an annual basis, plus 12% compared with the 2015 quarterly average. Let's now move to the next slide to analyze the cash flow. Starting from our EBITDA level of 38.9 million euro, we had the financial investment for 8.3 million euro, the acquisition of Brescia companies. Besides this, and in line with our plan, we reported an ordinary capex of 3.8 million euro for the period, mainly based on the execution of our land acquisition program. The EBITDA minus ordinary capex equals 35.1 million, implying a cash conversion of around 90.2%. Moreover, in the first quarter, we reported an exceptionally high net working capital variation, which was primarily due to an increase in trade receivable caused by a deferred payment of for about 14 million euro, fully cashed in at the beginning of April, and an increase in other receivables due to a cash advance renegotiation tool. As a result, cash flow to equity ratio for the quarter equaled 14.6 million euro. Let me also remind you that the recent annual general meeting held on April 19th resolved on the contribution of 90% of reported net income, leading to a dividend payout of 9.45 cents per share. On slide 15, we provide an overview of our balance sheet at March 2016. The reported information refers to the consolidated financial statement at end March 2016, including the Brescia company's contribution. As I already told you, during the quarter we acquired the three companies located in Brescia for a total consideration of 8.3 million euro. The portion of the consideration paid in excess of the acquired net taxes, which is 0.5 million euro, amounts to euro 7.8 million and was provisionally recorded as an increase in the goodwill. The other balance sheet items include tax accruals for about 10 million euro. At the end of March, the net financial position amounted to 33 million euro, with a deleverage of about 14.5 million euro compared with the 2015 year end, leading to a net debt EBITDA ratio of about 0.2 times. Distributable reserves at quarter end equaled 747 million euro, that is around 1.2 euro per share. Despite dividend distribution, we maintain a significant flexibility with a leverage of 0.2 times. Let me spend a few words on INWIT cost of capital. On slide 16, we highlight our low cost of capital. The company takes advantage of a very low cost of debt. Indeed, the all-in cost for our 120 million term loan with a 5-year amortization is fixed at 1.33%. Our risk profile is quite low, thanks to rock-solid long-term contractualized revenues that give us a great visibility of the top line, inflation hedging, and best-in-class cash flow conversion and high operating leverage. The financial flexibility translates into a generous dividend distribution of 56.7 million in May 2016, a pivotal role in the M&A and market consolidation process, the possibility to enfranchise the goodwill and get 0.16 euro NPV per share, and still about 690 million distributable reserves that could be paid to shareholders if a more accretive allocation was not found. With this, I thank you and leave the floor to Oscar.
Thank you. Thank you, Rafael. Just a quick wrap-up to conclude our presentation and move to the Q&A session. In the plan, we included three major initiatives which are already delivering tangible results and are expected to continue doing so over the business plan period. In this slide, slide number 19, we recap these three steps of our solid growth path. More specifically, the first driver is the increase in the number of tenants. At the beginning of the call, I already commented on our ability to add, during the first quarter, 300 new tenants. The full economic impact of those new tenants is 2.5 million of additional revenues. The second driver is the efficiency improvement, which is related to the commissioning plan and ground lease efficiency plan. The full economic impact of our activities in the first quarter is 2.4 million of cost reduction. The third driver is the new business, new sites. M&A, new sites, and small cell business are expected to generate additional growth. The full economic impact of the project activated in the first quarter is greater than 1 million of additional revenues. So, for this reason, we remain very confident in our ability to achieve the high single-digit EBITDA growth by 2018. Besides the initiatives highlighted above, there are a number of items which could generate additional value. Perhaps, as you already know and remember, a possible increase of electromagnetic limits, goodwill enfranchisement, and the market consolidation. So, if we move to slide to the next slides, we are on track with our plan, and I'm fully confident in saying that we will be delivering on our targets. If you look at the right side of the slide, all the main KPIs are in line with what we promised. So I can say that we are building a stronger and future-proof tower champion. Now I think we can move to the Q&A section. Michele?
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question pressing star followed by one. First question comes from Mr. Simon Coles from Barclays. Mr. Coles, your question please.
Hi, Simon Coles from Barclays. Thank you for taking the questions. My first question is there any update on the electromagnetic limit law at the moment? I haven't seen any news recently. And then my second question is, you've managed to reduce your average lease cost to 13.5 thousand euros a year. Where do you see this going down to within, say, the next 2 years? Thank you.
I didn't get the second question. Let me start for the first. The first is about electromagnetic emission. So just to recap what we are expecting in that area. First, Italian situation is completely different from the other European countries. Second, for the first time in 2015, the Italian government stated in a strategic project that they want to change those limits and realign them to the European standards. Third, this year, within June, the European Commission is expected to provide new recommendation for the electromagnetic limits. So there is a clear opportunity for the Italian government, as soon as the new recommendation will come out, to immediately adopt it. So in the IPO, in the meeting with you guys, I already say that I don't feel optimistic about this. But I have to recognize that there is a great opportunity for the Italian government to easily implement this change. So I think that within June, we should have these recommendations coming out. And let's see if the Italian government will be able to catch the opportunity to implement the radical change. Can you repeat your second question, because I didn't get it?
Sure. You've reduced your average lease cost to 13.5 thousand euros a year. Where do you see this falling to within, say, 2 more years?
So I confirm that our lease costs are declining on a monthly basis, on a quarterly basis, year on year. And of course, this is not by chance, but is because of the commissioning process and the continuous renegotiation with the different tools that we are adopting. And I think that the most relevant impact on our target, that is in 2018, I can repeat what we have been saying in the presentation of our plan. We expect that the lease cost, the third-party lease cost in 2018, will be well below 100 million. Remember that last year was 126 million. So having said that, I think that a relevant driver of to reach this target is the land acquisition. As I told you, we assumed to be able to change the ownership of 15% of our sites, so to buy 15% of our lands. And of course, the plan is not linear. Our target is to have, let's say, something in 2015, in 2016, more 17 and more 18. And if you look that, if you consider that we already achieved 10% of our plan, because we considering 2000 2015 and 2016, we have been able to buy around 100 lands. So I think that we are on track.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Eric Herbst from Credit Suisse. Mr. Herbst, your question, please.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just had a question on the 100 new tenants you signed that comes on top of the MSA agreement with TI. Just wondering if you could give a little bit more detail on that, if that's MNOs or if that's either other wireless local loop operators, for example. And then secondly, if you could maybe go into a little bit more detail on the small cells, which obviously is quite interesting. When do you think that'll start to generate more revenues? And how should I think about the kind of revenues per location? Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot. So the 100 new tenants other than the contracted ones come mainly from the wireless local loop operator that are investing a lot in covering the rural areas as well as the cities. So I would say that about 80% come from wireless local loop operator and other radio network operators, and 20%, something less than 20%, comes from MNOs. With regard to small cell, I have to restate the target that we included in our plan, that is that with our numbers, by covering more than 90 large locations within the next 3 years and continuing this process, what we are assuming is that in 2020, small cell will contribute for 4% of our total revenues. Perhaps it's relevant to say that, first, in Italy, this trend is just taking off, because in the 2011 spectrum auction, the mobile operators bought a lot of spectrum, and so now they are dealing with the data growth traffic, data traffic growth, by simply putting spectrum on air, new carriers on air. But it starts to be evident that in some location this is not enough and something else has to be put in place. So in all our 8 contracts, we simply signed 8 contracts with location owners, and we started to deploy the small cell plants in quite all of these 8 contracts. We registered a strong interest from location owners that are very, very delighted to increase the coverage of their location, but even from the operators. The operators, when you have good location, are absolutely ready to join us and to pay for the small cell coverage. You're right. For the time being, the price for small cell continues to be per remote unit. So we continue to import, to apply the traditional macro coverage business price model to the micro cell. So we continue to propose to the mobile network operator a price per radio unit. I continue to feel confident that sooner or later this is going to change and we will be applying a per location price model.
Great, thanks very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Pavan Fabio from Mediobanca. Mr. Pavan, your question, please.
Yes, hi. Good evening and congratulations for the set of results. My first question is if you can share with us maybe some, we don't call it guidance, but what we should expect for the end of 2015, as my feeling is that you guys are actually accelerating in terms of delivery for results, both in terms of top line, but also in particular for what concerns the profitability. The second question is, Oscar, for you, do you think that what is going on all around Europe in terms of consolidation for mobile space could have also an impact on the Italian space? You are still confident that something may happen also in the mobile tower space, or do you think that the picture, the general picture, is changing? Thank you.
Thank you, Fabio. No, we registered a good quarter. But now we have to confirm our guidance. So we would be very, very happy to improve our guidance. But for the time being, we cannot. The second question is interesting, and of course, I think that there are some element in the overall picture, in the radar screen. So on one end, we have the Telecom Italia process to sell the majority of INWIT, that of course could trigger a relevant step of consolidation. And this is one. This is the first element. You know that the process is not in our hands. Telecom Italia is managing this process. So it's absolutely impossible for us to say what will come out at the end. But in principle, this is one of the most relevant item in the picture of market consolidation. The second relevant item is given by the wind arch towers. So here, you know that the two operators are waiting for the approval of their combination project. What's happening in UK, of course, is giving everybody some doubts about the possibility for this project to succeed. But of course, let's see what's going on. In any case, I do believe that sooner or later, combining or standalone, some assets could be coming to the market, because if they combined, they already announced that they are interested to sell towers. If they remained standalone, I do believe that the operators that owns many towers could be interested in doing something. So this second item is something that we have to continue to monitor. Last and least, there is the possibility to continue to consolidate those small operators that we are looking at.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Jonathan Dunn from RBC. Mr. Dunn, your question, please.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the question. I've got two. One is, I think in the press there was talk about INWIT acquiring 1,000 of EI's cellular towers. Have you had any discussions with EI? And then secondly, in the scenario where Wind and Hutchison don't merge, is there an opportunity, do you think the contract, the MSA with TI and Vodafone, would allow INWIT to add, for example, Hutchison sites in, say, urban or rural areas, or do you think one of the MSA partners might veto those additional tenants?
Thank you, Dan. First question. In principle, of course, we already been talking about it. We are interested in all the potential consolidation in the market. So in principle, we are interested in combining the about 1,000 tower telecom towers that EI Tower seem to have with our asset. I think that by putting together towers, in any case, you could be generating synergies. I have to say that no binding offer has been done by INWIT so far. The second is about Hutch and Wind. As I was telling you, I think that in the market there are a positive sentiment about the approval and negative sentiment about the approval. So what I believe, but is of course my personal feeling, is that in both cases the Hutch towers could be available for a transaction. This is of course my feeling. Having said that, the agreement between Telecom Italia and Vodafone doesn't present any obstacle in increasing our footprint. Just to recap, we have the agreement. We, for 7,300 sites where this agreement is in place, we have all the obligations, all the upside that Telecom Italia, that are included in the MSA with Telecom Italia, just to repeat, 2,600 new contracts, Vodafone, and 1,400 decommissioned sites. And on the other hand, we have an obligation that is having all the sites fully booked by this agreement. We cannot do anything without Telecom Italia consent. Having said that, we can do whatever we want with the sites currently owned by Hutch, because we can buy them, we can propose them to the operators for synergies, we can market them, we can decommission them, because of course we can move the equipment of Hutch in the INWIT assets. Naturally, we can do that without any problem in the cities, in the big cities. We can do that only with the Telecom Italia approval for the sites in the small cities. But in principle, I think that we do not have specific obligations that do not allow us to go through this potential transaction.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Mark Murphy from Macquarie. Mr. Murphy, your question, please.
Hi there. Yeah, Mark Murphy from Macquarie. So just a couple of points maybe just to clarify, and then one maybe slightly deeper question. You say in the presentation you've hit 10% of your 16 to 2018 plan in terms of land acquisition. Does that mean you've hit 10% and you only need another 5% to get to 15% of total land owned? Or do you mean you're 10% of the total there, if you know what I mean? And then the other point was just on the Brescia companies. So 1 million of additional EBITDA. Can we assume then you've done 250,000 in 1Q16? Or is that 1 million going forward? So maybe you'd like to clarify those, and then I just have one other that I might come back at.
Yes, all in all, our plan, our land acquisition plan is about 1,300 sites. Now, at the end of the first quarter, we were above 100 sites. So simplifying, we say that we are more or less at 10%. If we want to be more precise, we should have said that we are at 9% of our plan. As I told you, 1,300 sites that we want to acquire from now to the end of 2018 is an ambitious goal, even though we have to take into account that till now we are prepared to pay maximum 7 times the annual fee that we are paying, maximum. For these reasons, we believe that we included in our plan a certain number of sites in 2016, a higher number in 2017, and higher in 2018. So, for these reasons, I say that I'm very confident about the success of this plan, because with this 10, or if you prefer 9% of the plan at the end of the first quarter of 2016, I have to say that we have 12 quarters in front of us where we can deliver right numbers. It's not an easy task, because of course the landlords are not could be not completely enthusiastic to sell. They, of course, there is a common, a win-win advantage, because there are relevant tax benefits for them. So for the time being, we are seeing that our proposal are welcome by many of the landlords, but of course it's something that we have to work on.
The second one was just on the Brescia Co's, how much EBITDA was contributed in 1Q16. Is it 250,000, or is the additional 1 million going forward, if you know what I mean?
So the 1 million revenues that I said could come, the third step of the wrap-up?
Yeah.
So this was, if I put together, so just to see where I see these 1 million revenues, if I put together the new sites already on air, the new sites that have been already ordered by Telecom Italia, the acquisition of the Brescia 3 tower cost, and the project of small cell that we started to deploy, all in all, this is more of 1 million revenues. So now, your question is about the EBITDA. The three components of those initiatives are present intrinsically the same EBITDA ratio of our business model, because in the small cell we start with a lower EBITDA, but we target an EBITDA well above 15%. On the new sites, more or less, we recorded the same EBITDA that we have in the current sites, just a bit less perhaps. And for the M&A, of course, we buy something that has already an EBITDA ratio that is in line with the TowerCo business profile. So to that extent, I would say that all the revenues that could come from these third steps, new business, new sites, and small M&A, present more or less an EBITDA margin that is in line with our standard EBITDA margin.
Okay, but just given that you've consolidated Brescia Co numbers into 1Q results here, I'm just wondering how much Brescia is contributing in terms of EBITDA in 1Q16. Is it fair to assume that it is 250,000, given that you're indicating an additional 1 million of EBITDA going forward from this acquisition? I mean, if we look at slide 12, that's how I interpret it anyway.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
1 million is
okay.
Split. It starts from January, because okay. Of course. So this is more or less 250 per quarter.
Okay, and then just one last question, if I may. Sorry to delay. I just wondered if you were able to clarify anything further on your goodwill tax step up option. So as I understood, you have a decision to make there as to how you want to evaluate your goodwill options, or if you want to pay a tax contribution up front to reduce your goodwill. I mean, something that I think you said you were due to make a decision on maybe later in the year. Is that correct, or have you any update on that?
Yeah, you're right. So this is first of all, we restated that this is an opportunity that we have in front of us. As I told you, we have two possibilities. The first is on a standalone basis, and the second is if we were part of a consolidation process. If we stay alone, we have to take this decision within June 16. So we have to present our application within June 16. What we are doing is to be ready to do that, to submit this proposal to the board of directors and to get this opportunity. The reason why we are ready to do that, but we didn't start, is because should we be part of a consolidation process, the advantage for the consolidated entity will be higher than what we can get on a standalone basis, because we can recover what we anticipated of 16% of enfranchisement, that we have to pay for the enfranchisement in 10 years. The combination has the possibility to recover in 5 years. So we believe that it is our duty to maintain a higher advantage for a potential new combination. But of course, should we recognize that we stay alone for whatever reason, we will be presenting this proposal to our board of directors.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Domenico Ghilotti from Equita. Mr. Ghilotti, your question, please.
Good afternoon. The first question is just a follow-up on your last comment. In particular, the first question is, If you think that decision on the consolidation will be taken by June, but on your side, what about if you are not in the position to understand if there is a consolidation by June? What is your position related to the goodwill? And then I have a question on the electromagnetic pollution. In particular, I would like to understand if the statement coming from the government last Friday is changing, so is meaning an advancement in the process, or if it is too early to say. Then the last question is in particular on the wireless local loop operators that you were mentioning and new tenants. I would be interested in understanding if there is a competition on prices to get these new tenants, or if they are coming to you, you're basically, because they're trying to extend the coverage, and so you are in a very, let's say, unique or peculiar position, so you don't really have to compete on prices for these new tenants.
First is goodwill. Thank you for your three questions. First is goodwill. I think that there are two different potential scenarios. The first is that we feel enough confident that the combination will take place. If that were the case, we would be expecting and not presenting the proposal to the board. If we were not confident enough to be combined, and we believe that we will be living standalone for whatever reasons, I want to present this opportunity, this possibility to the board. Just to say, this is the reason why I continue to highlight, I will present it to the board, is of course that this is a clear opportunity. It's an opportunity because there is a very interesting IRR. We believe that there is a value creation inside this opportunity. But on the other hand, don't forget that we are proposing to our shareholder to invest in taxes. So in principle, I would prefer to buy the Hutch assets instead of investing in taxes. But all in all, I would say that in case we realized we will be independent, we cannot avoid to present the project and the opportunity to the board. The electromagnetic emission, no news. What we've been reading on the newspaper was, let's say, an adjustment of the laws for professional environments, the radiology department in the hospital mainly. So there are no news, but there is this, I think, interesting opportunity for the new recommendation to come out within June. The second is wireless local loop. Yes, of course, competition is also on prices, but of course, first there is location. Location continues to be relevant because those operators need good locations, able to deliver a line of sight between the radio equipment and the customers. We have an agreement with the main wireless local loop operator where they are incentivized to increase the number of sites with us, because we have an increasing discount if they decide to bring more equipment on our sites. So in principle, there is also competition on prices, but I have to say that we are succeeding in getting those contracts, and I have to add that we have a very, very interesting pipeline of prospects with those customers and also with the mobile operators.
If I can add a question, just a clarification on slide 7, the bottom of the slide, I see that you are comparing the land purchase acquisition and in general the renegotiations. And I see that in full year 2015, the average is around 0.5 thousand. So I think it's probably the quarterly average. And the bulk of it is coming from M&A. Is it correct? Because I didn't expect to see such a big contribution from a small M&A in the renegotiation taken in 2015. Sorry,
I didn't push the button. Let me restart from the beginning.
Okay.
I was talking, but without pushing the button. So you notice that in the first quarter of 2016, we signed a lower number of transactions, because in the average quarter of 2015, we have been able to sign 500 transactions per quarter. Meanwhile, in the first quarter of 2016, we have been able to sign just 350 transactions. The split is, I think that there is, can you, because I'm reading, the split is 50 coming from pure renegotiation. I think that here we have a typo, because we have completely inverted. Let me say the right numbers, and then we will provide an update of the colors.
Okay.
We recorded 150 renegotiation. We recorded 100 land acquisition, 50 cash advance, and 50 tower acquisition. So the colors are completely wrong and misleading, of course. So apologize for that. But in terms of the message is that with less transactions, we have been able to get more reduction, more a higher full economic impact. And the reason is very simple, because what we are doing is lower number of renegotiation, but we are delivering cash advance. In the renegotiation, the typical reduction is around 20%, 20-25%. Cash advance, where the saving is 40%, and land acquisition, where the saving is 10%, this 100%, and M&A, where the saving could be in the region of 70-80%, because on one end we save our lease, on the other end we start paying some lease cost of the tower cost. So apologize for the colors. We will immediately update them.
Okay, was just a clarification. Okay, thank you.
Last question comes from Mr. Ricard Boada from Morgan Stanley. Mr. Boada, your question, please.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. First of all, congratulations for your results. I have two questions, if I may. The first one, you previously indicated that you expected land acquisitions to be closed at a multiple of 7 to 8 times. Have you seen any changes in the Italian market that could suggest that this multiple could change? And secondly, you mentioned that if you were to acquire any towers from Hutch, you would be able to bring in those tenancies from the Hutch towers to your towers. If you were to merge with Cellnex, would there be any restrictions to bring the Cellnex tenancies to any of your towers?
Sorry, let me, very interesting your second question. Let me start from the first one. Now, our policy is to have maximum 7 times the annual fee for the land acquisition. Just to give you more colors, our employees or partners can offer and conclude a deal with 5. From 5 to 7, from 5 to 6, the 6 times, the transaction should be approved by the managers. From 6 to 7 should be approved by myself. And from 7 onwards, I think is something that didn't happen right now. But of course, should we have a very, very interesting site for perspective or whatever, of course, we could also be prepared to pay something more. But now we are around 6 times. We are prepared to pay maximum 7 for good locations, for good sites. I don't see any signal in the market for that can put pressure on us on increasing such multiple. The second question is, first of all, if we were able, let's assume the first scenario is that INWIT will be independent and on a standalone basis. Assuming that the Arch Tower come to the market in this situation, in this scenario, of course, we would be very, very interested in buying the towers. And we also, we do believe that we are the favored counterpart for Arch. Because, of course, we can offer some synergies that perhaps our competitors cannot offer. But this is something, of course, we will be competing and trying to get those assets. If we merged with Cellnex as a conclusion, as the outcome of the Telecom Italia sale process, the only restriction that we could be monitoring and looking at is just related to the antitrust. I have to say that for the antitrust, there are no precedent, significant precedent in the antitrust rules, in the antitrust behavior for the tower business. As a matter of fact, strong, big, large concentration of infrastructure market has already been allowed for the broadcasting towers in some countries, of as you know. So in principle, I think that putting together, if we consider the INWIT asset, the Cellnex asset, and the DH assets, we could be putting together from 60 to 65% of the Italian towers. So the restriction in this that I can forecast is just the antitrust reaction. Here, I think we do not have precedent. I would expect some remedies if we wanted to put together this big amount of towers, but of course, nobody knows.
Okay, just a quick follow-up. My question was more in the lines of if there would be any concerns from your Telecom Italia or from INWIT in regards of bringing in tenancies from a potential decommissioned Cellnex tower to one of the towers of INWIT if Cellnex were to be the acquiring entity.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot this relevant component of your question. This is very interesting. So, let's look at the facts. Now, we have 7,300 sites where we cannot do anything without Telecom Italia consent. And we have 4,200 sites where we can, we are free to, we have a free hunting right to look for new tenants. So, in principle, if we consider the potential decommissioning of Cellnex towers, that means wind equipment, we could do whatever we want in 4,200 sites, and we could do whatever will be allowed by Telecom Italia in the remaining 7,300 sites. Here the problem is that the moving of the commissioning of Cellnex sites is related to the wind consent to be moved, and so is more related to the contracts, the agreement between Cellnex and wind, more than the physical possibility to go through it. Because of course it's clear that the overlap is there. It's clear that we can get advantage, but the decommissioning requires that the MNO that is required to move has to agree. And of course, to that extent, we have to understand what kind of agreements Cellnex already have or could have with Wind. I don't know if I properly answered your question.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for attending this conference call. The conference call is now over. Today we announced our first quarter results, which are fully on track. Looking forward to give you another great update at the next quarterly conference call. Thank you.
The conference call is